Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, here we are and in a different room, but you're with us no matter where we are, and we can just gather together in the name of Jesus and be led by your Spirit. Thank you that you're with us 24/7, Holy Spirit, never apart from you. But may we yield to you and may we respond to you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Everybody get a copy of the notes. There should be enough. Darlene's got a few. Would you pass one on down here, please? On the back of your notes, there's some words to this hymn, Near My God to Thee. Let's just sing these stanzas together if we could. I think you know this. Nearer, my God, to Thee, nearer to Thee, e'en though it be a cross that raiseth me, still all my song shall be near, my God, to Thee, near, my God, to Thee, near to Thee. There in my Father's home, safe and at rest, there in my Savior's love, perfectly blessed, age after age to be nearer, my God, to Thee, nearer, my God, to Thee, nearer to Thee. Amen to that, huh? As we continue through the Bible, looking at the prayers in the Bible, we've come to about the end of 2 Thessalonians today, and we had a prayer last week that the God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who has loved us and given us consolation and with good hope by grace that he would comfort us and so forth. Today, we continue on in that same vein, and he gives us a little interlude there in the next verse, in verse 1 of chapter 3, to pray for Paul. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified. So we're in 2 Thessalonians 3. The prayer is in verse 5. But leading up to that, we read in verse 2, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. And so he's talking about their believers and unbelievers and those wicked men that, of course, ran him out of town when he was there with them the first time. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. So again, it's the same statement that it's the Lord. The Lord himself is the one who's faithful. He will establish you. He will guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you. So notice the continuing emphasis on Paul here with respect to him drawing the people to the fact that it's the Lord. The Lord is faithful. The Lord will draw you. The Lord will cause you to do the things that he would will you to do. And now in the last verse then is this little prayer we want to look at this morning. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. So that's Paul's final prayer in effect for them, although later he's going to say, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you. Here he says, may the Lord direct. The word direct there, it means really what it means in our language pretty much. It means to lead or to direct our steps, to direct our path, to direct our ways. You know, Psalm 119, 133 says what? Direct my steps, right, by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. The same word here, although here it's in the New Testament in Greek, basically, that the Lord would direct us. The Lord would direct what? Direct our hearts. Direct our hearts. And where does all things start? It starts in the heart, doesn't it? It proceeds from the heart basically to the mind and then on out through the mouth and so forth, but it's the heart. So he is asking that our innermost beings, their hearts, be directed by the Lord. And how is he asking they be directed? And we really see here the Trinity too, because he's speaking here of the Lord. How does the Lord direct us? He directs us through his Spirit, doesn't he? So it's the Spirit, praying that the Spirit would direct our hearts into what? Into the love of the Father and then into the patience of the Son. So the Trinity is right there for us. And the love of God, I think, is all-inclusive. We have, of course, our part of it, the love of God, where we have in what? Deuteronomy 6:4, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. We shall love him, right? We shall love him with all our heart. But then also we have the love of God to us, where he gave us his Son, right? So it's so big that we can't even get our hands around it, but that's the love, the agape of the Father there, that we may be directed into the agape of our Father, and then into the patience of Christ. That's an interesting translation there. Some of the translations, if you have the Old King James, it says the patience for Christ. That word could be, that of there could be translated of or for. The patience of for would kind of have a connotation of until the second coming, right? We wait with patience until he comes. We want to be ready, but we also want to be active. And one of the problems the Thessalonians had, they were so focused on the second coming, and there's some false teaching that crept into the church that the second coming had already come. And so Paul is telling them, no, it hasn't come. And there were some who were just being lazy. They were just, hey, the second coming is imminent. We don't have to do anything. It's here, right? I mean, it'll be here today or be here tomorrow. And even there's some Christians now that kind of sometimes take that point of view. Jesus is coming so soon. The days are so wicked. He's coming so soon that basically we can just wait for his coming. Well, we're going to wait for his coming, but we don't want to wait idly, do we? We want to wait being active. We want to be awaiting, praying. Jesus said, what? Watch and pray that you may be ready. And we want to be active in the gospel, but the Thessalonians were slacking off a bit, and he's going to warn against that idleness in the verses immediately after this. But we're to wait for the patience of Christ and the patience for Christ. And so the patience of Christ, that would be to me more as his patience. What? We want that. We want to have that patience in our heart. His long-suffering, his gentleness, his forgiveness and so forth. We want to be more like him, don't we? So that's Paul's prayer here, that the Lord would direct our hearts into the love of the Father and into the patience of the Son. So that's kind of the backdrop of the prayer this morning. And you can spend some time in that prayer on your own as you will. I was reading a little more of E.M. Bounds. E.M. Bounds is, you know, every time I read E.M. Bounds, on one hand, he really exhorts me. On the other hand, I feel so inadequate. It feels like I'm not even on the same page with the guy. But, you know, he was a great pastor, very fruitful ministry. He started out as an attorney. He's from Missouri. I mean, I don't know how anything good comes out of Missouri, since that's where I'm from. But he was an attorney at the age of 21, and then he later became a pastor. He was asked by some pastors to speak, and his speaking was so powerful that then the Lord moved him basically into the ministry. And he was a pastor for a number of years. But then when he was almost at the peak of his ministry, he said, I'm going to leave the pastorate, and I'm just going to spend time with God, and I want to write down whatever he gives me. And so he spent the next 17 years writing, and mostly little booklets, but you can get them. They're all bound together now in the complete works of E.M. Bounds and so forth. But there's some great things in there. He'll talk about early morning prayer and about how he believes that we shouldn't even pray with our family or anybody else until we've spent time alone with the Lord. We shouldn't see any other person until we've spent time with the Lord. And you know, isn't that good counsel? Because what happens, the first thing you do, you get out of bed, you see somebody, you're probably grumpy as an old bear. And I mean, you already start the day on the wrong foot, right? You say, I got out of the bed on the wrong side. Well, we always get out of the bed on the wrong side, I think, without the Lord. But if we spend time with the Lord, even before we have prayer, it gets us ready. And if we don't prepare ourselves to to make God first, the first part of the day, we chase the Satan all day long, I think. We never catch up, right? Because if he isn't first in our life to begin the day, we have a tough time getting him in front of us when we've gone halfway through it and messed it all up, right? I mean, then all we're trying to do is break Humpty, put Humpty Dumpty back together again. It doesn't go together very well. It's better to keep him from falling off the wall in the first place, right? So anyway, the prayer is just so awesome. And the group prayer is very important. But group prayer is work to me. A group prayer is not as sweet as time alone with the Lord, because the time alone with the Lord is so sweet and so refreshing, where group prayer, you kind of, there's a part of group prayer that keeps you going, but there's part of group prayer you feel like you're all beaten up after you pray for a while, it seems like. And maybe that's just maybe more intercessory prayer than it is group prayer, really. But prayer is work. And so we're here to pray, and we only have a few minutes, so I'll be quiet now and we can go to prayer. But may we be led by His Spirit, and as such we will be praying in one accord. And so, again, nearer to God is what our prayer is, and we thank You for His nearness. And so, Father, as we go into prayer now, we thank You for Your faithfulness, and we just want to be closer to You, closer to Your Spirit. Your Spirit is dwelling in us and being in us. We can't get any closer, but we can screen You out and keep You from really ruling and reigning in our lives. And we want You to rule and reign right now in this little circle here and lead us in this prayer. And as each one prays, we know we're together in this prayer because we're responding to You, to one Spirit. So lead us now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.